Day is love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Okay? And that's the first scripture I'm going to read to you. In Galatians 5, 14 through 26, it says this: For all the law is fulfilled in one word. We want to know what that word is, right?
Amen.
In one word, even this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes it's not always easy to love your neighbor. But love is something you do. It's not something that you feel. A lot of people say, well, they see some cute little girl and when they're young and they say, oh, I think I'm in love with her. Or she sees some cute little guy and she says, I think I'm in love with him. Well, they find out as they go down the road that love is a lot more than just a feeling. It's a lot of doing. It's a lot of putting up with things and a lot of forgiving each other and everything else. But love has a lot to do, you know. But that's what we need to come to the realization of, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, like a lot of people think, but he sent them in that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And, you know, so let's ask the Lord to help us to love our neighbor. And, you know, sometimes you might ask yourself, well, who is my neighbor? Well, everybody you come in contact with is your neighbor, whether you know it or not. And anyway, we'll go ahead and read the rest of the scripture here. It says, love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not be consumed one of another. And it says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that they cannot do the things that we would do. And you know, when I was thinking about that, I'm going to read you this little thing here. I think it's excellent. And it's called Two Natures. And it says, an American Indian was given his testimony in a gathering of Christian members of his tribe. He told of a conversation and how it begins. He felt as though he would never sin again when he first got converted. And you do feel like that. I'm telling you what, when you first give your life to the Lord and get baptized and everything, you feel wonderful. And you think, man, this is a new beginning. This is great. But it goes on here and it says, and he thought he would never sin again. And he was so happy in knowing his Savior, but he explained as time went on, he became conscious of inward conflict, which he described as somewhat as follows. He said, it seems, my brothers, that I have two dogs. It's nice Mark was talking about his dog today, so it fits right in with that. I have two dogs fighting in my heart. And one is very good dog and beautiful, and he's always watching out for my best interests. And the other is a very bad dog who is always trying to destroy the things that I want to see built up. These dogs give me a lot of trouble because they're always quarreling and fighting with each other. One of the hearers looked up and asked ironically, which one wins? And the other simply replied, whichever one I say, sick 'em to 'em. And surely there could not be a more apt illustration of the two natures in a believer. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But if we pander to the flesh, we will certainly go down in defeat. And you know, sometimes we forget, and we tell Christians about all the good stuff when they first get saved, and it's wonderful. But there is a battle that goes on inside of you. And, you know, I remember one time, I believe it was Linda that wrote that song, "The Battle Is Over." You know, the victory's been won. My old man's cast down in the image of him. And it goes on, "For the battle's been won." And, you know, the battle is won as far as the Lord's concerned, because he paid for all of our sins and all of our shortcomings. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to acknowledge them when we see them and not try to cover them up, but just acknowledge them and ask the Lord to forgive us in situations and circumstances, because we do. But I'm going to go on and keep reading here to you. And I'm going to read you this too. It says, a man got up in a meeting in New York some years ago who had been pretty far down. But wonderful change had taken place, and he said he had hardly knew himself. He said the fact that he was a new man in his old clothes. That's just it. Not a man in new clothes, but a new man in old clothes. And he said, and I saw an advertisement which read like this, and I've seen this before too, where they'll say, clothes make the man, you know, dress for success and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, that's not really true. And said, and I saw an advertisement which reads like this, if you want people to respect you, wear good clothes. And, you know, that's the world's ideal of getting the world's respect. Why, a leper who puts on a good clothes, he would still be a leper, you know. And it goes on and says, still, mere profession does not transform a man. It's the new nature spoken of in 2 Corinthians 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And you know, last week when we had that baptism, that was the one thing that I really was hoping that all of the kids would see, that this was a new beginning for them. You know, old things are passed away. Anything that you did in the past, it's been forgiven. It was forgiven when Jesus died on Calvary. You just didn't know it. And yet, a lot of times, we've got that other little dog in there that's trying to growl and tell us, well, you know, you sassed your mommy or your daddy, or you did something bad, or you didn't tell the truth in this situation, or you did something else, trying to bring you down. And what you need to do when that rises up inside of you, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, please forgive me, and go on. And, you know, not let that thing have any power over you. You know, we were talking back in Sunday school about a double-minded man. And that scripture in James where it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The word for double-minded man, the word for mind there is dipsuchos, double-souled. It means double-souled. And that means that you fluctuate back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And we were talking about coming to a place where we go no more out of the consciousness of God and stay in that consciousness. And that's where we need to get to. And we need to ask the Lord every day, Lord, let this mind be in me, which was in you. Scripture says to let it be in you. And it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of times we don't feel like we have the mind of Christ. And I've told you before, Preston Eby, you know, a lot of you know Preston Eby. He's a wonderful teacher. But when he was here one time, he talked about getting up in the morning and going in the bathroom and looking in the mirror. And he'd look at himself and he'd say, Eby, you're a son of God. Eby, you're a son of God. He'd say, you don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God. And we don't know what a son of God looks like. But you know what a son of God looks like? Like you or like me. And that could be woman, man, it doesn't make any difference. Because in Christ, there's neither male nor female. And I want you to know that women have the same place in Christ that a man has. And but it's in Christ, you know. And a man can be just as carnal or be just as emotional or anything else as a woman can be, or just, and there's no difference there. When Christ, when God looks at you, I don't care who you are, he sees his son or his daughter, and he sees you as special, and there's none like you in all the earth. But as we're being changed from glory to glory into the image of his son. And when we come to that full image, creation's going to be set free. Scripture tells us that in Romans 8 chapter, into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And you know, I got news for you. People look for a lot of things to have liberty. People fought for it. People in this country, you know, originally came here from another country, from England originally, and they came here to be free so that they could, you know, worship God in the way that they wanted to and different things like that. And they literally had to literally physically fight for that because England tried to come back and they started mistreating them and everything, and we had the Revolutionary War. But you know, the neat thing about it is that battle is really over if we will just acknowledge that it's over and acknowledge God each and every day. And like the scripture says, acknowledge him, you know, acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. You know, he has to direct your path, you know. But it goes on here in verse 18 says, then, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and of such like, of which I tell you before and as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It says here, though, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We were talking about a little bit back there about people being known by their abilities and the gifts in their life that they have. You know, some people have the ability that they can get up and just talk beautifully. I don't particularly have that gift. Sometimes I feel like I murder English and murder Hebrew and Greek, but it's funny that God chose someone who was not an English professor to share his word, you know, a lot. And you know, but he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. He chooses the weak to bring to naught the strong. And you know, that's why we have to glory. When we glory, we have to glory in the Lord, not in ourselves, or not in any abilities that we have, only in the abilities that he has. And we have to start believing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. And until we come to that total belief, we're going to fall a little short in the things that we do. Because there's times when we say, oh, I could never do that. Well, yes, you could. If God's directing you to, you can do it. You can do anything he directs you to do. You know, but let's go on a little bit. And, you know, a lot of times, like I say, we think we know people by their gifts. But the scripture tells us, by their fruits shall you know them. And I read you what the fruit is, fruit of the Spirit is. It's, and I'll read it to you again. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such it says there's no law. And they that are Christ are crucified, have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof and lust. If we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, let us not be desirous of vainglorying, provoking one another or envying one another. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, I just wish I could do what you do. Quit saying that. Do what God has you do. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. I used to hear people stand up sometimes years ago when Brother Eddie was the pastor, and they would say, "Well, Brother Eddie, you cast a big shadow. You cast a big shadow. I can't hardly get up and speak behind you." You know, I knew from the very start I couldn't be Brother Eddie. I don't try to be Brother Eddie. I have to just be Oscar, whatever God has me be. You have to be who you are. And I tell you what, when you quit trying to be something that you're not, then God can use you right where you are. You know, and you know, so many times we have a tendency that we just think, oh, if I could just do this or I could do that, everything would be wonderful. Well, no, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be no more wonderful than it is right now. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Let us be an encourager of people, not a discourager. You know, I've heard people kind of rail on, I can't never remember that guy's name. The minister that gets up, and talks to people all the time. He's got huge crowds and all that. Joel Osteen. I've heard some ministers try to down that guy. I don't know Joel Osteen from anybody else, but I do know this. All I ever hear him doing is encouraging people, not discouraging them. And you know, I believe God has called us to be an encourager of people. I believe He has called us to be a builder up, not a tearer down of people. I believe He's called us to be a lover, not a hater, you know. And when we start fulfilling those things in life, we'll see that, that God uses us a lot better than what He is presently. You know, there's certain people that have a tendency that when they look at a glass of water, they say that water's half full. And then another person will look at it and say it's half empty. You know. But you know what? I believe if you look at it as being half full, then there's room to fill it up some more. If you look at it as being half empty, then you're looking at it as being a negative thing. You know. And I worked with a guy years ago. He had to be the most negative guy I've ever been around in my life. And, you know, his name was Joe. And Joe always had took the negative slant on anything that was said, you know, always, constantly. And, you know, one time the Lord had me share my testimony with him. And I thought, you know, and boy, he let me have it. I was a young Christian, real young Christian, and he let me have it. I mean, he didn't believe in this and he didn't believe in that. And he was Catholic, you know. Well, you know what? He didn't believe in healing, and I'd shared my testimony how God had healed me when I was a young boy from having epilepsy and all this and that. And when I shared my testimony with him, he was just kind of very negative about it, you know. And I kind of went away wondering, should I have even shared my testimony with him? But you know, God has a way of leveling things out. He knows how to level things out. And this was back in the 70s, and there was a real move called a charismatic move going on in the 70s. And up in at Notre Dame College, they were having a big rally because people in the Catholic Church were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit and starting to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And this was in the 70s. And boy, at one time the church was dead set against that, you know. And so was the Methodist Church and a lot of the other denominations. But, you know, they come to realize that God was causing these moves, and they kind of backed off on it, you know, being negative about it. But anyway, his wife had really bad feet, and she just had a horrible time trying to walk. Her feet were so bad. And she went up to one of those meetings, you know, and she got healed. And I don't think he went with her, but when she come home, she told him, she said, "I got healed." and she was walking good and everything. And, you know, it was kind of funny to see the change in him, because all of a sudden he started believing that the glass could be half full instead of half empty. You know what I mean? But isn't it neat how God knows exactly what needs to happen in people's lives to get them to the place that he wants them to be? And I'm telling you, he was super negative. If you said it was a beautiful day out there, he'd say, well, there's a few clouds over there. It's probably going to rain. I mean, he was just that kind of guy, no matter what you said. And it was always something negative, always something negative. But I tell you what, it's beautiful when God does stuff like that. When he begins to move in people's lives and he begins to change their attitude. You know, a lot of people don't realize that your attitude determines your altitude in God. If you don't have a good attitude, you have a bad attitude, you're going to be way down here all the time. And you're going to miss God in most situations and most circumstances. And you're going to miss opportunities for him to use you and to see his glory in the earth. But when you have the right attitude, where you're praising God and you're looking to him in all things, you'll find out that he will use you in mighty, mighty ways. He'll use you in ways that you never thought you could ever been used. You know, I shared this testimony one time. I was in this restaurant, and I felt like I should go over and talk to this woman. And I went over and talked to this woman. I told her, I just gave her words. I felt like the Lord was giving me to give her. And I told her, I said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that it'll be all right between you and your daughter. And, you know, he wants you to forgive your daughter. And she looked at me real funny, and she said, I don't have a daughter. I said, you don't have a daughter? No, I don't have a daughter. I said, well, I said, I'm just telling you what I felt like the Lord told me to tell you. And then in a couple minutes, she says, well, I got a stepdaughter. I said, well, the Lord just wants you to know that things are going to be okay between you and your stepdaughter then. I said, you know, but it's funny because she took the negative slant right off the bat. But then it began to hit her. And I told her, I said, God's going to bring healing to that situation, you know. And, you know, I don't know what happened there. I didn't ever seen that woman again. But you know what? God's going to do stuff like that with you more and more and more as you go along. And sometimes he'll have you say stuff to people. I've went in restaurants before and sat down, and Margaret get up and walk away to go to the bathroom or something, and I've had someone start talking to me and start telling me their life story, all the problems they got and everything else. And you know what? I just sit and listen, you know. And I didn't feel like I was even supposed to say anything. I just sit and listen to what they said. And, you know, maybe that's what that person needed that particular day, just somebody that they could let that stuff inside of them out and get it out of their system or whatever. But there's just so many times that if we'll realize that if we love our neighbor, and, you know, there was a time in Scripture where they asked Jesus who, you know, they came to Jesus and said, your mother and your brother stand without, you know, desiring to speak with you. And he said, you know what his reply was? Who is my mother and who is my brother? And he went on and said, basically, they that hear the word of God and obey it, the same are my mother and my brother and everything else, see? And if we'll just realize we have an opportunity to change people's lives, to turn them around, And we just need to be real mindful of that and ask the Lord, Lord, let us look at everybody as our good neighbor. You know, I was thinking for a minute about, I can't even think of his, Fred used to be on TV, please? Yeah. What was the first thing he'd always say? He'd say, good morning, neighbor, or, you know, he was just always, when he was talking to people, and he was always so positive. Well, for years, I didn't know when he was on there that he was a minister that had been doing that show, and he'd done that show for years and years, and he was always, you know, doing things to lift up kids and encourage kids and stuff like that. And, you know, what a ministry he had right there. I mean, I don't know how he preached, if he was at church, if he preached or not. He was supposed to be like a pastor, I think. I don't know if he preached at church or not, but I'll tell you what, he preached on that television to them little kids every day, because he'd just be talking about being good neighbors and good friends and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny sometimes. We look at the complicated things and we think, oh, you know, one of these days the Lord's going to do this and one of these days he's going to do that. What's he doing today? What's he asking you to do today? Don't look it out in the future. Look at today. Say to the Lord today, Lord, what would you have me do today? Is there somebody's life that I could take their burden and make it a little lighter? In Galatians 6, 1 through 10, it says this, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We're called to be restorers. We're not called to be complainers or called to talk bad about people. We're called to be restorers. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I love this. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, Jesus told them one time, I don't know if you knew this tradition, but they had a tradition in Rome when they had, you know, Rome was inhabiting Israel, that if a Roman soldier came by and you were standing there, he could say, hey, you, come over here, carry my pack. And you by Roman law, you had to carry his pack for 1 mile. You didn't have no choice. I mean, you had to do it, you know. And you know what Jesus said? He said, when they bid you to go 1 mile, go two. Go two. Are you willing to go farther than what you really have to? I'm telling you, that's when lives will change. That's when people will begin to realize that, man, there's something different about this guy. Because they knew they had to carry it 1 mile. But he told them, he said, carry it two. Praise God. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And you know, the proof that you have to do is by showing love to people. You show the love to people, and that's there's no greater proof than that. But it's funny because this sounds like a contradiction, this next one. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. And you know, every man does have to bear their own burden. But he's telling us, bear one another's burdens. In other words, take the load off of somebody else when you can. Try to help them when you can. Take that mile or 2 miles off of them. They might have to carry it the rest of the way, but they'll be able to carry it because you were there and you helped them when they needed the help. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, Jesus said for us to take his yoke upon us, for his burden was easy and his burden was light. He didn't say our burden was going to be easy and our burden was going to be light, but he basically was saying his burden. And if we take on his burden, our burden will go away. It won't be there. You know, I saw a thing one time where they were showing, they took a little small animal and yoked it up with a big oxen. And they both pulled, but guess who was pulling all the weight? The big oxen, not the little animal. And you know what? That's the way it is with the Lord. If we cast our cares upon him because he cares for us, then all of a sudden our burdens begin to get lighter and lighter and lighter. And I'm not just, you know, when I tell you a lot of these things, folks, I'm not saying that I do these things 100% of the time, because I'm telling you, I need to do them too. I get burdened down once in a while. I get discouraged once in a while. And you know what? Sometimes I need somebody to lift the load off of me once in a while. And thank God we got some good brothers and sisters around here that do that stuff. I appreciate that. But, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect in any way, but I say he's perfect. And I'm perfect in him. As long as I stay in him, I function in his perfection, not in my own. You know, I don't think more highly of myself than I ought to, because I know my fame, like I said back there in Scripture says we know our fame and we're but dust. Well, he's the life, he's the way, he's the truth, he's all of those things. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody would like to come up for prayer, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to come up and give your life to the Lord, we don't do an altar call very often, but, you know, you're welcome to come up and we'll pray with you. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's already paid the price for your sins. He's already forgiven you. But sometimes you need to make that profession of faith. And Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words, for truly their spirit and life. I know this is a simple little sermon today, but I think it's exactly what somebody needed to hear. And I thank you for what you're doing. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you all honor. And I ask you, Father, to let us all begin to move and flow greater into you and to do the little things. If we'll do the little things, the bigger things will automatically begin to happen. I thank you. I give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.